19.
Thorby discovered that finding out was difficult. Things went on much as before, but were not the same. He had vaguely suspected that the help he was being given in learning the business had sometimes been too much, not well enough organized. He felt smothered in unrelated figures, verbose and obscure summaries, analyses that did not analyze. But he had known so little that it took time to become even a suspicion. The suspicion became certainty from the day he defied Judge Bruder. Dolores seemed eager as ever, and people still hopped when he spoke, but the lavish flow of information trickled toward a stop. He was stalled with convincing excuses, but could never quite find out what he wanted to know.
"A survey is being prepared, or the man who has charge of that is out of the city, or those are vault files and none of the delegated officers are in today."
Neither Judge Bruder nor Uncle Jack was ever available, and their assistants were politely unhelpful. Nor was he able to corner Uncle Jack at the estate. Lita told him that Daddy often has to go away on trips. Things began to be confused in his own office. Despite the library Dolores had set up, she could not seem to find or even recall papers that he had marked for retention. Finally, he lost his temper and bawled her out. She took it quietly.
"I'm sorry, sir. I'm trying very hard."
Thorby apologized. He knew a slowdown when he saw one. He had checked enough stevedores to know. But this poor creature could not help herself. He was lashing out at the wrong person. He added, placatingly,
"I really am sorry. Take the day off."
"Oh, I couldn't, sir."
"Who says so? Go home."
"I'd rather not, sir."
"Well, suit yourself. But go lie down in the ladies' lounge or something. That's an order. I'll see you tomorrow." She looked worried and left. Thorby sat at his chaste, bare, unpowered executive desk and thought. It was what he needed. To be alone without a flood of facts and figures, he started digesting what he had soaked up. Presently, he started listing the results. Item. Judge Bruder and Uncle Jack had put him in Coventry for refusing to sign the proxies. Item. He might be Rudbeck of Rudbeck, but Uncle Jack would continue to run things until Thorby's parents were legally dead. Item. Judge Bruder had told him bluntly that no steps would be taken about the above until he admitted his incompetence and signed proxies. Item. He did not know what his parents had signed. He had tried to force a showdown and had failed. Item. Ownership and control were very different. Uncle Jack controlled everything that Thorby owned. Uncle Jack owned merely a nominal one share to qualify him as acting chairman of the board. Lita owned a chunk, as she was a Rudbeck while Uncle Jack wasn't, but Uncle Jack probably controlled her stock, too. Lita paid no attention to business. Conclusions? What conclusions? Was Uncle Jack doing something crooked and didn't dare let him find out? Well, it didn't look like it. Uncle Jack had salary and bonuses so large that only a miser would want more money simply as money. His parents' accounts seemed in order. They showed a huge balance. The megabuck Uncle Jack had handed him hardly made a dent. The only other withdrawals were for Grandfather and Grandmother Bradley, plus a few sums around the family or charged to the estates. Nothing important. Another couple of megabucks. Conclusion? Uncle Jack was boss, liked being boss, and meant to go on being boss if possible. Status. Uncle Jack had high status and was fighting to keep it. Thorby felt that he understood him at last. Uncle Jack put up with the overwork he complained about because he liked being boss. Just as captains and chief officers worked themselves silly, even though every member of a free trader family owned the same share. Uncle Jack was chief officer and didn't intend to surrender his supreme status to someone a third his age who, let's face it, wasn't competent for the work the status required. In this moment of insight, Thorby felt that he ought to sign those proxies for Uncle Jack, who had earned the job, whereas Thorby had merely inherited it. Uncle Jack must have been terribly disappointed when he had turned up alive, and must have seemed an utterly unfair twist of fate.
"Well, let him have it," settle things and join the guard. But Thorby was not ready to back down to Judge Bruder. He had been pushed around, and his strongest reflex was resistance to any authority he had not consented to. It had been burned into his soul with whips. He did not know this. He just knew that he was going to be stubborn. He decided that Pop would want him to be. Thought of Pop reminded him of something. Was Rudbeck connected even indirectly with the slave trade? He realized now why Pop wanted him to hang on. He could not quit until he knew. Nor until he had put a stop to it, if the unspeakable condition did exist. But how could he find out? He was Rudbeck of Rudbeck. But they had him tied with 1,000 threads, like the fellow in that story Pop had told. Gulliver and his starship, that was it. Well, let's see. Pop had reported to X-Corps that there was a tie-up among some big spaceship outfit. The Sargon's government and the Raider slave traders. Raiders had to have ships. Ships. There was a book he had read last week, Galactic Transports, History of Every Ship They Had Built, from number 0001 to the latest. He went into his library. Tall red book, not a tape. Confounded thing was missing, like a lot of things lately. But he'd almost Renshawed the book, being interested in ships. He started making notes. Most of them were in service inside the hegemony, some in Rudbeck interests, some in others. Some of his ships had been sold to the people, a pleasing thought. But some had wound up registered to owners he could not place, and yet he thought he knew the names, at least of all outfits engaged in legitimate interstellar trade under the hegemony, and he certainly would recognize any free trader clan. No way to be sure of anything from his desk, even if he had the book. Maybe there was no way from Terra. Maybe even Judge Bruder and Uncle Jack would not know if something fishy were going on. He got up and switched on the Galactiview he had had installed. It showed only the explored fraction of the galaxy. Even so, the scale was fantastically small. He began operating controls. First, he lighted in green the 9 worlds. Then he added, in yellow, pest holes avoided by the people. He lighted up the 2 planets between which he and his parents had been captured. Then did the same for every missing ship of the people concerning which he had happened to know the span of the uncompleted jump. The result was a constellation of colored lights, fairly close together as star distances go, and in the same sector as the 9 worlds. Thorby looked at it and whistled. Pop had known what he was talking about, yet it would be hard to spot unless displayed like this. He began thinking about cruising ranges and fueling stations maintained by galactic transport out that way, then added in orange the banking offices of Galactic Acceptance Corporation in the neighborhood. Then he studied it. It was not certain proof. Yet, what other outfit maintained such activities facing that sector? He intended to find out.